Welcome, everyone, to the Abundance Formula Podcast. My name is Gina Oldham, practitioner of prosthetics and orthotics, fitness expert, business owner, lifestyle entrepreneur, and four-time national bikini competitor. This podcast was created to empower people to build abundant lives for themselves, lives that are purposeful, fruitful, and send a ripple effect through the world. From short motivational segments to game-changing conversations with highly successful and abundant people, be ready to learn the formula of common actions, thought patterns, and principles that create abundant living. Whether it be your mindset, health, business, or relationships, the Abundance Formula has what you need to uplevel your life to the one you're called to live. So here we go. Hey everyone, I have a couple quick announcements. First of all, make sure that you are part of the Abundance Formula Community Facebook group. This is a place where you will be able to download workbooks, worksheets, free guides, all kinds of really amazing stuff that I'm creating to go along with each and every episode of the Abundance Formula podcast. These things are meant to help you take the lessons you learn in each episode and really apply them to your own life to create abundance for yourself in whatever area of life each episode is focused on. So make sure you're part of that group and make sure that you're following the new Abundance Formula official Instagram page to have exclusive lives that are happening there as well. And so just make sure you're part of both of those groups so that you don't miss anything that the podcast has to offer to create abundance for your life and to connect you with other like-minded people that are looking to do the same thing. So it's a great place to network, great place to connect and get support and to take things to the next level. Last announcement is that we have a few more online personal training openings if you're interested in that, where you get customized workouts for yourself each month for your needs and goals, customized cardio plan, customized nutrition plan. All these are constantly updated each month as far as nutrition goes, depending on how your body responds. People are loving this. So make sure that you jump in. If you're interested, send us a message at oldhamstrong@gmail.com. You can check out the online personal training program at www.oldhamstrong.com/online training. And of course, at oldhamstrong.com, you can check out all the different things that we offer. But online training specifically has some limited availability. So let's dive into this week's Share Your Wins Wednesday. Again, this is a feature that is part of the Abundance Formula Community Facebook group, and it's a post that I make every Wednesday where you can share in the comments your wins for the week in whatever area of life. We celebrate each other, and I select several people to shout out on each podcast each week. And at the end of each month, I select a lucky winner randomly for a Starbucks gift card. So let's get into this week's Share Your Wins Wednesday. Okay, so for this week's Share Your Wins Wednesday features, I want to shout out Shayna Hilson. She says, this week I have exceeded sales for gift certificates, booked 8 events to capacity, and added 6 more for January, doing a New Year's Day yoga/meditation class to start the new year off right. Amazing. Way to go. Hit those goals, girl. I absolutely love it. So proud of you. Pamelia Cook says, I realized with a sense of sadness and relief that you cannot help someone that will not help themselves. This was a big step for me in surrendering the outcomes. That's so huge. What a big life lesson. Hard, but life-changing. Good job, Pam. Nadie and Zach says, a win for me. I let a friend know what was bothering me instead of building up resentment internally. Big win for me, especially since I struggle with setting boundaries. Huge, Nadian. Way to go. So proud of you. That is so hard. Controversy can be so hard, but I'm so proud of you for pushing through because you know, and I know, and all of us know that that is totally what creates abundance and happiness and fulfillment long term. So proud of you, Nadian. And then Rain Stickney says, I just scheduled my first Friday episode to go out on my new podcast, making this new podcasting adventure a twice a week show. Congrats, Rain. Can't wait to check it out. I know you've messaged me personally about your podcast, so I cannot wait to check it out and see what it's all about. And then lastly for this week, there's many more, but to keep it short and sweet, Britt Aguilar, she says, I got to know myself better and learning to do more listening and less reactivity. So awesome. That's a really huge win for this week. Britt's actually who won the random selection for December for the Starbucks gift card. So that's the shout outs for the week. Thank you guys for sharing your wins, and make sure that you join the community group so that you can share your wins for January and we can continue to celebrate each other.
Today's inspirational guest is Kelly Tyon. She's a leading faith-based entrepreneur, author, and podcaster. Both her show and her book are called Addicted to the Climb, which is a faith-fueled movement that inspires, encourages, and brings hope to keep on climbing no matter what life throws your way. She believes with every climb you take, it will make you stronger for the next one. Her transformational coaching has reached thousands across the country, empowering women to create a strong foundation in faith so they can climb higher without losing themselves along the way. She's a breast cancer survivor, four-time national bikini champion, proud wife, and mother of her two children. We have so many great topics in this episode, you guys, from how to set goals and actually reach them and remain consistent with them. We talk a lot about body image and negative self-talk and fixing those, building self-confidence. We talk about, there's just all kind of tactics, tips, tricks, tangible things, mindset tools, everything. You guys, this is a really great conversation and I can't wait for you all to hear it. And don't forget, if you're part of the Abundance Formula Community Facebook group, you can go there when this episode is released and download a free guide that will have reflective questions on this episode and tangible how-tos and exercises to actually help you apply what we talk about in this episode to your own life so you can uplevel yourself in this particular area that we talk about in this episode. All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Abundance Formula Podcast. Today's guest is Kelly Tyon. I think I said her last name right. And she is here today and going to drop so much wisdom on you all. I know you've already heard her bio as I recorded before, and she's just absolutely amazing. So thanks so much for being here, Kelly.
Thank you, Gina. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. Well, so go ahead and start out by just telling everyone who you are, kind of your background, your backstory, and what's led you to where you are today and the things that you're doing today.
Well, thank you again. So my name is Kelly Tyon, and I'm over in Boston, Mass, outside of Boston, Massachusetts. I have two kids, I'm married, and I started out as a school teacher back in the day, loved being with students, loved teaching, and then I decided, you know, I wasn't feeling fulfilled. So I loved working out. I loved being in the gym. And I know we have that in common. Mm-hmm. And I had a couple guys, a couple good friends start a CrossFit gym in 2008. So I said to them, hey, do you guys mind if I start a Kelly's boot camp? I want to train some women on the off times. They gave me early morning hours. And as I was teaching, I weaned out of the teaching and I started this boot camp, not really knowing what would happen with it. I was pretty much doing it because I was also doing network marketing at that time. So I said, let me just see how this goes and what comes out of it. Because I love working out. I love being around women. I love empowering women to feel good about themselves. I've always been like that. And as it started with 12 women in the class, it just took off. So I do want to tell you one story that happened though in the process, Gina, of when I committed to starting this boot camp. 2 months before the doors opened, I did get diagnosed with breast cancer. So that was really a traumatic time for me. Here I was going to be the healthy girl, starting my fitness, you know, workouts and doing all that. I thought I was the healthy girl. So it was almost like such a shock to my system. And I had a lot of shame around it. Like, why me? I had my quick pity party, but then I really had to stop and make a decision. Am I going to let this eat me up? Or am I going to show these women that if I can do this, you can do it too. So I continued with my boot camp. I went through my treatments. They really were a motivation for me. I know God had that was part of the plan because they held me accountable to keep showing up just as I was holding them accountable to their workouts and getting healthier. So it really was a win-win situation, how the whole thing happened, how the whole thing evolved. And teaching obviously was gone at that point. And I just really dove into these ladies and really wanted to help them get healthy, but from the inside out. So they were working out, we were doing great. And then I knew that they needed more. So I got my nutrition certification and taught them about food and how to take care of themselves from the inside out, as I said. And then fast forward, I realized over the years that all these women that came through my doors, as much as they were working out, feeling good about their workouts, they still were missing the most important piece of it all. It was their mindset, because they were really the negative talk, like, look at me, I'm not skinny, I look fat. Like, they'd come month after month and they still were lacking in that area. And so that's when I really dove into my faith. And I said, they need faith. They need faith in themselves. They need faith in God. They need to have a foundation of faith to stop this negative talk, because it was really, I could see it. It was eating them away. And I'm sure you know, by working with women, sometimes our negative self-talk just gets the best of us. So that's when, and I'm telling you a really fast version of this, but I started my podcast, Addicted to the Climb, in 2020. And it was right before COVID. And I wanted to just help women stay on the climb in faith, in fitness, in health, in their marriages. And it was really a passion project, the whole Addicted to the Climb podcast, because I just wanted to get stories out there. I wanted to bring people on like you and have conversations and do some solo episodes just to really continue inspiring and motivating women to just keep climbing higher, but with faith, again, as the foundation of that. So I started doing that in the same time as that happened, there were two women that opened the door. Actually, they bought the gym out from the guys that I was renting from. And they came and told me, well, Kelly, we don't want you here anymore. We're going to do our own CrossFit things. We don't need Kelly's boot camp here. I was like, oh no, what am I, you know, it was another obstacle I had to face. Decide what was I going to do next, because I was there for 10 years. I loved it. I built such a brand of with these women in my following, but COVID happened at that time. So again, I feel like that was another godsend, because he shifted me into the space I'm at today, which my book came out this year, also called Addicted to the Climb. And I'm really dialing into my ministry of helping women create a solid foundation of faith to keep climbing in life. So that's the quick story of where I started, where I am today. I coach women in group coaching programs. I'm writing my next book as we speak for 2023. And so lots of fun things going on in my life, and I'm truly excited. I feel so blessed of all the things I've been through, because they led me to where I am today. And yeah, just lots of new and fresh things. And I'm excited to see what God has more in store for me.
Mm-hmm. I love all that. And I love the name just even of your podcast and the book, that Addicted to the Climb, because it says so much, not only in continuing to try to climb upward, but that climb isn't easy, you know, and that like the hardest parts of that climb often come right before the next best part of the climb or the next best view. And so, you know, it's interesting. I always talk to people a lot about when you face resistance or obstacles, it doesn't mean you're going the wrong way. Oftentimes that's your sign you're going the right way, you know, and if anything, that's the devil trying to hold you back. And then of course, God can turn it into something better, like your breast cancer right before you're about to start the fitness thing, yes. You know, and whatever, it becomes this more, even more powerful piece than to what you were meant to do anyways. And to again, not just see them as, okay, well, I guess I'm not supposed to do the fitness thing. I've got breast cancer. I should sit at home and whatever. Like, no, okay, this is a new tool somehow to figure out how to use towards this thing I still feel called to do inside. I'm going to keep pushing and keep climbing. So I love that whole concept. And I love that one of your kind of specialties is this whole negative self-talk, because after just doing my abundance formula event, November 5, one of the things that people, because I had a survey at the end, like, what do you need more help on? What do you want more content about? And it was an all women's thing, was help with this negative self-talk and low self-esteem. So how do you help people who struggle with depression, anxiety, or this negative self-talk and this low self-esteem?
So I do love talking about this too, because I struggled. I was a fitness competitor for a few years. And as you know, the same, I held such a high standards to how my body should look. And I want to touch upon this for a minute because I went to the stage. I did very well. I did become a four-time national bikini champion, but yet it did cause some damage. As great of an experience it was, it taught me about dedication and commitment and discipline that, you know, you don't just get on stage in a bikini. There's a lot of work that goes involved with competing, the food, and again, all those things I just said. But yet, when I came off the stages and I started eating like a normal woman, I felt, you know, ugly and gross. And I would talk to myself like this. And at some point, when I got to a very low place in my mind, I'm like, what am I doing? God created me, and this is who I am. And my identity is not in my body. It's not in how I'm supposed to look. My real identity is knowing that I'm a daughter of the King. And until I really got that in my head, Gina, like, it took a long time, but I realized other women were feeling the same way. They didn't know what their identity was or where it's found. And they were talking to themselves in these terrible ways, letting the negative thoughts eat them up, whether it's about their body or they're not a good wife or I'm a terrible mom. And listen, God created us perfect, okay? And the way I talk to women, back to your question, is I start with identity because our identity is in Him. And that's what I believe because I am a Christian. That's, and I know it's okay to talk like that on your show, mm-hmm. but I believe in teaching women that if you can really understand your identity is in Christ, He made you perfect. He infused you with peace, love, patience, all the fruits of the Spirit. Then you can, when those negative thoughts come in, you have this armor on that you can fight against those thoughts and not accept them. It's really about making a choice in the end. Are you going to talk to yourself this way, or are you going to choose to say, no, that's not who I am. I know who I am. And pray. So that's really how I've practiced dealing with my negative thoughts. I think it really comes down to it's a practice. When those thoughts come in the middle of the night, whether it's at 3 a.m. or whatever is happening in your life, it's really about making a choice to let it break you or to take charge of those thoughts and say, no, I know who I am. And, you know, and then naming some things about yourself, some proud things that you can say, some winning moments that you've had, because we all have them. And it's really just about, again, it's making that decision to not let them eat you up. Because if you go down that spiral, those negative thoughts can really stop us dead in our tracks, make us go backwards, keep us stuck. And that's really not the life God wants for any of us. He wants us to live abundant. I love the name of your podcast so much because that word abundance is exactly what God wants for us in every single way. So that's really how I try to help women, you know, not get into that or come out of I call it an ugly state. Because that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love how you focused on that. It is a choice to believe to believe it or to not believe the lies or the dialogue that's in our heads.
Yes.
And I know I even experienced it, like in putting on this event, like when we can realize that just because you think something doesn't mean that it's true about yourself, and when you do ultimately get to choose the belief system you decide to hold, it's like in the preparation for this event in the mornings, I'd be like, oh, I've got this. I'd be inspired. I'd feel good. Like on an emotional level, I can do this. I'd be my brain was my mental cheerleader. But then by late afternoon, all of a sudden it would be the polar opposite. Like, I don't think you can do this. You don't got this. Who's going to think you're influential? Who's going to, and all the completely opposite, mm-hmm. that it became almost funny, since luckily I've experienced this enough that I could take the 30,000 foot view to say like, hey, look, see how volatile the dialogue in your brain can be. I get to choose which of those is true. And I can also choose to know that this is also a dialogue that might flow and happen. So don't take it personal. Don't, you know, just like move on through it. Like you said, use your shield to let those ricochet off. And then know that by morning, you're going to be your cheerleader again. And like, so just know that you get to pick. And that's what I had to do, is just pick the, okay, I've got this. And guess what? I did have it and it did go great and it was powerful and all the things, but I could have chose to also been like, cancel the whole thing, give everyone's money back. And you know, you really do get to choose. So mm-hmm. I love that you pointed that out, because that I think is completely pivotal for people to realize that.
I also want to say it takes a lot of practice to, you know, the more you practice dealing with those thoughts and trying to dismiss them and breaking the cycle and the spiral that's happening, the better you'll get at it. Because every day we're all going to go through this. Like you said, you had your event, me, I'm doing whatever, my next coaching, who's going to sign up? Why would they sign up with me? Of mm-hmm. course, these thoughts come into our head. But again, it's having big faith in practicing big faith all the time, and you'll get better and better. And what I've realized over the years is that I spend less time in those worrisome, anxiety, anxious moments than I did in the past, because I practice kicking them out, mm-hmm. you know?
Yes.
And it really works. It worked for me, it will work for you. And again, God wants us to live abundant lives. And so he doesn't want us to be in that headspace at all.
I love it. Well, and so you mentioned this a little bit earlier about how, you know, from coming off of the fitness competitions and stuff, you had to really learn to love your body and to fuel it properly as well. So I was curious if you could explain to people how you kind of do that dance between loving your body and knowing that it's not about trying to be perfect, but also still making positive, you know, you are in the fitness world, so you're working with people who are looking to make positive, maybe necessary physical health changes. How do you help people marry the two worlds together? If you can still aim to make positive changes, but it's in a different light of, oh, I'm aiming to be perfect, or it's because mm-hmm. I'm fat, or whatever those, mm-hmm. the way they speak to themselves is, how do you marry those two so that you can, you know, bring about both benefits?
Oh, such a good question. So I used to be all in, you know, the girl, and I'm sure your listeners can relate. There's a few of you girls that go all in, or guys. And I just realized that doesn't work. You cannot go all in on a crash diet, take sugar out, take alcohol out, take dairy, and lose the weight, but it's going to backfire no matter what. And it did for me. I was always up and down and up and down. That's why I was chasing till I got so tired of that. And I'm like, how can I balance this? Just what you're asking. And what I've realized, and this has been huge for me, is I live by the 80-20 rule. So I am clean eating. I live a very healthy lifestyle pretty much 80% of the time. But the other 20% is my pizza, my wine, my going out with my girlfriends, because there were times in my life where I wouldn't even go out with friends because I was so worried about eating something bad, and I missed memories and opportunities and friendships. For what? Now, when I look back, I'm like, why did I do that? I was so worried about my outer appearance, and it honestly was eating away at me. I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy staying in. I was actually the opposite. I was so miserable because I was putting so much pressure on myself. And I realize now that I'm in my 40s, women just want to feel good. And in order to feel good, we have to have a little bit of a balance, but we do have to have more of a 70-80% of feeding our body and fueling our body with God-made foods. And then maybe the other 20% is what you eat out at dinner or enjoy with your husband or your girlfriends. And that's okay. You can achieve balance that way. You can feel good about yourself if you actually set yourself up that way. And another thing I do is, if I have a rough weekend, meaning a lot of social events and things where I'm not food prepping and I'm not eating clean, I just know when Monday rolls around, it's time. I always have a green shake. I just want to feel good. I have a lot of veggies on hand, and I start my week off in the right way. So my mind is fueled, because if you don't feel good in your body, it affects your mood completely, because we all know food is our mood no matter what. So if right now you're very miserable, you're not happy, really evaluate what you are eating day to day, because it affects your mindset in so many ways. So the 80-20 rule is where I find my it's amazing the balance I have now. And I don't feel guilty about the 20% anymore. So it's a, I feel for me, it's a great place to be.
I think that's awesome. I think it's really helpful. And I think it's helpful for people to see, like, in the results. I think so much people don't realize until they really were dig into the science of it, as you and I have, how much stress affects your lack of ability to get a goal that you want, even if you're doing all the workouts and you're eating all the clean stuff, how much inflammation and internal stuff that'll mess up the even external goal you're hoping for. So it's cool for people to see, when people like yourself, others, myself, to be able to see that you actually can look super healthy and super fit, not eating perfect 100% of the time, and to know that it's, and you don't have to work out every single day of the week and do an hour of cardio and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so they can see that with consistency compounded over time in this 80, 20, 70, whatever, 30 way you're talking about, that they can have all the things and be even happy about it. Why look good if you're unhappy and you don't have friends? Or why look, you know, all this. So I think that's such a beautiful thing, and that you're a proof of an example, even physically, that that can come together, yes, especially with consistency. So I think that's so great. Another thing I know you're really good at helping people with is building self-confidence. And just like the negative self-talk was something people wanted a lot of help with, this is another one I get messaged about a lot, and like how to build self-confidence and self-love in general. So what is your best advice for helping people create more self-confidence just in life in general, as well as self-love?
Well, it all comes down to the conversations you have with yourself. So if you're speaking out, and this is something I learned too, I these are all things that have really, I've grown so much even over the last few years. And I've realized my conversations with myself have to be full on positive and motivating. And I have to ignite my own fire within, and I have to actually speak things out, even if they're not true. Like today, I got this. Today, I'm going to kill my day today. I'm going to be the best I can. I am, you know, speak life over yourself constantly, and you will feel it. It will come out of your pores. So building confidence is all about the, again, the conversation you're having within your own head. If you're telling yourself, I'm this, I'm that, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, oh, look at her. Well, that you're going to stay like that, and you're going to be constantly in that state of comparison. If you're saying to yourself, wow, I did great today, I achieved this, I drank water today, I did better than I did yesterday, or whatever it is, the more you speak life over yourself, that's who you will become. I fully believe that, because again, when I struggled so much with the self-talk, when I started speaking to myself differently, everything changed. I became a different person. I had more of a pep in my step. And I noticed when I work with women, it happens for them too. You know, it's that flip of a switch that you can create your own confidence by speaking to yourself in the way you would speak to your child or your aunt or your mother, or, you know, whoever mm-hmm. else. It's funny how we can say it to everybody else, but when it comes to ourselves, it's the hardest thing to do. And that's why I believe in writing little notes to yourself. I even have some of my clients take an Expo dry erase and put it on their bathroom mirror. So you're actually looking at those words like, I am worthy, I am capable, I am smart, whatever it is that you feel you're lacking, write it out that that's who you are. And you will stop believing that. And it just lifts your spirits. It lifts everything inside you. And it's really a good practice to get into if you struggle in some of those areas.
No, that's beautiful. And I love how you brought in the, like, if you're speaking to your child, because I think that can be a way for people to help themselves and work, like, in starting out talking good to themselves. Cause like, if you even need to put a picture of your little girl, of you as a little girl out, think it, just like a child's confidence is built. If you're saying all the things like you're saying to them every day, or leaving them notes, or leaving these, how confident will that kid turn out versus if you speak the way that, like, we can, So if you can think of your own self in the childlike manner, even if you need to find an old photo of yourself and put it out in front of yourself to do these practices, like you're saying, like, how confident will that me be if I talk to myself that way? It kind of makes that connection. So I loved how you mentioned, yeah, somebody else's kid, your mother, someone you respect or care about, like anybody else. Like you said, I don't know why we separate ourselves, or once we get older, we stop thinking about the fact that children or whoever just want to feel loved, worth something, cared about, encouraged, like, ooh, we're no different now. So I think that's so great. I want to definitely talk about your book, Addicted to the Climb. And I want you to tell everyone what it's about and why. I know you kind of told them a little bit about what it's about, but like why you really felt you wanted to write it and how even the book came about.
So Addicted to the Climb is really, it really starts with my mom in my upbringing. I'm an only child. My mom was my absolute best friend from birth, but yet my mom suffered with rheumatoid arthritis from the moment I was born. So my whole life, I watched her hands were swollen. She could never wear shoes from the top of her head to the bottom of her toes. She has scars from all the surgeries. And because back then the medicine was just so different, and they never really told her about nutrition. But anyways, I just watched her go through so much in her life. Yet, Gina, she never complained, always had a smile on her face, and she always had her Bible in her hand. So faith was what got her through, and I never saw her fall off the climb. My mom was always climbing. That's what I call it. Like, she never came off. And as a little girl, just, I was in awe, now that I look back, of how she lived her life so beautifully and was a true example to me. So when I was wanting to do a podcast, Addicted to the Climb came into my head. It was like a download almost from God, because I'm like, wow, I never give up. And I know my mom instilled that in me, that we don't have a choice. We have to keep going. So that's really what Addicted to the Climb is. It's a movement of helping others keep on climbing, because no matter what, we're all going to go through life, going through death, going through divorce, going through hardships, you know, getting fired, all these things happen to us. It's how we deal with those things. And that's how we can keep climbing, getting ahead. So my book is really compiled of 30 stories that I wrote personally of things that I've been through to encourage other people. And hopefully they can relate to some of the stories, so they can stay on their climb. And they, again, they're all faith-based. They all have a prayer at the end, some journal space. So they're really 2-minute reads. You can pick up my book and just read one story and say, oh, I got this today. That's what I wanted people to get from my book. So
that's awesome. I love that. Thanks. And what's maybe one of your favorite or most powerful stories or breakthroughs that you share in the book, and why?
Well, I talk about my mom a lot, and there's a story, Norma. My mom's name is Norma. It's just how she persevered through one of her surgeries was called a halo cast. And I don't know if know what that is. It's I was in sixth grade, and she had nails drilled in the front of her head and at her temples, and two in the back with bars that looked like she was in a jail prison. And she had to sleep like that and be in this halo cast for 6 months. And I have pictures of her in my book because she smiled a lot and she had to sleep with this halo cast on. And it's just so inspiring that God got her through that. And what a testimony that she just never quit on herself. This woman could have stayed in bed for her whole entire life, yet she was always ready to go with her makeup on fully. What are we doing today? And so that's probably one of my favorites, because when I'm in my weepy moments or dark moments where I'm like having a pity party, I'm like, okay, Norma, you did it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get out of bed. I'm going to do what I have to do, and I'm going to keep pushing forward. So I think that's probably my favorite.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. So with the podcast, I know what's cool and I love about podcasts is you get to talk to so many awesome people and connect with really amazing, like, wisdom givers. So maybe what's one of your favorite, most powerful things someone said on your podcast thus far?
Someone said, I love this little quote. And she said, at first it broke me, but then it built me. And I was like, whoa, I love that. And it was really just about her story of, you know, coming into hardship and having a diagnosis. And, but it tried to break her, but yet it really built her to who she was today. And I think that's what we can all take. We can all use that quote because we all right now have been through things. I don't know what you've been through, but I know you've been through some really hard moments in your life. And I want you to know you're still here right now in this moment. You made it through that moment. Even if you're in a new moment, you can take that brokenness and it can build you into something beautiful. And it can be such a blessing when you get to that other side.
I love that. So, and stepping into all these new areas, like you've done, you went from, you know, being a teacher and getting into fitness and then writing books and having a podcast and now coaching and doing everything on a lot of things online. Did you ever struggle with self-doubt? And if so, how do you work through it? And how do you teach others to work through it?
100% yes. Mm-hmm. And I still struggle with self-doubt. I actually had a moment yesterday because as we're heading into the new year, just saying to myself, okay, what am I doing next? And how am I, again, is anybody going to sign up? What am I, you know, what, I'm thinking about maybe a membership or launching my 6-week program into a 12-week. But yes, doubt creeps in all the time. But it really comes down to, you know, having, I call it a WIT mentality. I'm going to do whatever it takes to keep going. I'm not going to let myself feel. I always just want to bet on myself. And I truly believe that if we don't bet on ourselves, then who's going to bet on us? Nobody. Nobody's going to hand deliver a career for us. No one's going to hand deliver money in an envelope for us. So unless you're betting on yourself to get things done and taking the action steps that need to be taken, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm committed to that even when self-doubt comes in. I'll have my moment, but I know that, and I let myself have the moments, however long it takes, but I know I have to just get back up on my feet because I have 2 children that are watching me and a family, and I never want to quit. I never want to be known as the girl that quit. I always want to keep betting on myself no matter how long it takes to get to where the finish line is. And I believe the joy is actually found in the journey. Mm-hmm. I really do. I know that's a quote. I don't know who said it, but you hear it around all the time, but it really resonates with me on so many levels because everything I've gone through, all the stepping stones, the milestones, everything that you mentioned that I've done, as much of a struggle in many times you want to quit, the joy was actually found in the journey of writing my book. And every time I wanted to quit, I still kept going. It's not found at the finish line. Yes, we mm-hmm. celebrate the wins at the end. It's beautiful, you know, and exciting, but the joy is found when you're challenging yourself along the way. The growth takes place there. And that's the beautiful part of life. Mm-hmm. So that's really the joy in the journey is my favorite quote out of all of them. Mm-hmm. Do you agree?
Oh, I totally. And that's what I like to me, what abundance to me like really is like being able to tap into feeling and knowing you have abundance in the wins, but then almost more importantly, when you're in the darker places or on that path, on the journey period, because that's going to really make up most of our life. The wins are little blips ultimately, right. And they're only worth anything because you know what you went through on that journey and because you knew what you overcome. And I always tell people, it's like, when we watch movies, you only care about the main character because you've seen all the drama prior, right? And you want them to win. If there was no up or down or strain or stress or growth, like, you're bored, you know, you kind of don't care. So like the impact, the content of that New York Times bestselling book is because you had a journey. And so if we can just learn to pay more attention along our journey, especially when it's hard, and document it and journal it and be like, wow, I want to look back, because then I will be even more proud of myself when I get to the win or the breakthrough because I pushed through this thing. That's what gives you pride at all from the end, is knowing what you overcame to get there. And so I totally, totally agree.
And celebrating the wins along the way.
Yeah, celebrate.
I mean, people forget that that's one thing. So I have a word of the year I do every year. I don't know if you do this.
Yeah.
But, and I encourage my clients to do this too. And last year, the word was move. This year, I'm going about it a little differently this year. And my word this year, for 2023, is proud, because I want to feel, I have to remind myself, Kelly, be proud of the little wins that you had and that you did keep going, that you did write that chapter yesterday, or you did work on that new program. You didn't quit. I think we forget to be proud of ourselves, even as a mom. Maybe you're a single mom or you're trying to juggle so many things. Be proud of what you accomplished in the day. Did you send your kid off to school with a healthy lunch? Great. That's something we can't forget to do, is be proud of ourselves. I think we put so much pressure on what are we getting towards, you know, the goal ahead, but we forget to feel proud along the way. So mm-hmm. the joy found in that journey all ties into that. So important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those micro wins will really make up more of the journey than the exactly. macro wins. So that's huge.
Yes.
And since you mentioned goals, that's another thing that some people just want to know about. Like, they feel like they need help with goal setting and staying consistent. So whether it's with health and fitness or writing a book, whatever it is, how do you look at a new thing you want to do, set goals, and be able to stay consistent with those?
So I get this question all the time. Mm-hmm. Kelly, how do I stay motivated?
Yes.
You know, whether it's in your job, your work, your fitness, your nutrition. Well, let me just sum it up really easily. I let go of trying to be always motivated, and I started really relying on what is my routine daily? What am I doing daily? And whatever your routine is, that's going to motivate you to keep going in a better direction. Like, for an example, let's talk about food for a minute. If you're trying to lose weight and you're trying to get motivated and hit a goal to lose 10 pounds, what is your daily routine? Is it consistent? Are you waking up and prepping your food, having maybe a smoothie in the morning or whatever it is? What is your daily routine? That's going to lead to your results. Because every single day, whatever you're doing or not doing will get you closer and closer to your goal or further away from it. But the more you do things that get you closer, the more motivated you will become to want to keep going. So instead of trying to find your motivation, stop relying on what is your routine every single day. If you don't have one, set one and be consistent with that routine and you will get there. I promise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's great. I think a lot of people think they have a routine, but especially if it's a new thing you're wanting to incorporate, it might require a little change up to your routine. Mm-hmm. And I think, like you said, it's important. Don't try to change the whole routine right out of the gate. Just think, okay, what's one more thing I can do that's today to move the right direction? Mm-hmm. And as you come to decisions, it's very simple, like you said, to think about, is this next decision I'm about to make moving me towards that health and fitness goal? Or is this one that's kind of moving me away? And just that being your trigger point to start sticking to those goals or being consistent and making the next best decision. So I think that's such a simple way that you put it. That's really helpful for people.
And I've also listened to, sorry. And no, you get me thinking.
Yeah, no, perfect.
But yeah. I talk about this a lot, and because I say, do you want to be an almost kind of person? Because if you really think about that question, did you almost hit your goal? Did you almost finish the race? Did you almost eat clean all day? No, make a commitment to show up for yourself so you're not an almost person. You want to commit what you started, what you said you were going to do. Because when you do something you said you would do, you are so proud of yourself, then you can move on to the next thing. So don't be an almost kind of person. Start really committing to yourself to get things done one thing at a time. Just like you said, Gina, don't try to do everything. Choose one thing that you want to focus all your attention on. Be consistent with that. Don't almost hit the goal. Do it. And don't make it so high, you know, make it attainable for you that you actually know you can do what you said you would do. So I think that's important as well.
Oh yeah, that's huge. The keeping learning to keep promises to yourself, I think, is also tightly tied to the how do I gain self-confidence. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like whatever the area of life it is, health, whatever, that learning to keep promises to yourself will build confidence you can follow through with whatever the thing is. And so, like you said, taking a small bite size. So if all you do is breakfast is the one meal you're going to change and make that a little healthier, do that for 2 weeks straight. And as you know, now you can count on yourself and you've kept that promise. Now you've got more confidence that maybe I could change what snack I have that's between lunch and breakfast, or that I want to have at night, change one other thing, and then do that one for the next 2 weeks. And as you start doing that, you trust yourself more, which enhances all these things: self-confidence, self-love, you're proud of yourself, the self-talk, and it kind of just cascades all together, all these things that we've talked about. I think that's awesome. Glad you threw that out there as another tip. So if there's three key things that you'd want women to know that could create a breakthrough for them and their health or fitness results, or just life results, honestly, what would you say those three things might be for you?
Number one, I would say, again, commit to yourself. So being committed, that word is so strong, because if you're not committed to anything, you won't get anything done. So make a commitment to yourself to do that one thing, and then become dedicated to it. Don't do it, you know, today, not tomorrow, the next day, skip 3 days. Be dedicated to that one thing. And the third thing I would say is really about taking action. Nothing gets done without taking action. You have to have faith. You have to have faith that you can get it done, but you have to actually step out of your comfort zone and do the thing. No one, again, is going to do things for you. You have to rely on yourself to get things done. So commitment, dedication, and just the action piece is so important.
Mm-hmm. I love it. With the action, because I know a lot of people, I think, struggle with this, especially say in entrepreneurship, is they're about to dive into something new and they're like, I don't know what actions to take, or I don't know how to do the thing. It's not my background, or whatever it may be. You've obviously done a lot of new things. When you're about to try something new, especially adding it to your career, how do you go about gaining the knowledge or figuring out which action to take and which one to take first? Like with your book, like how did you figure out, okay, how do I write a book? How does this process work? What should I do? You know, all the things. So give people an idea of what that looks like, because I think they get just stuck at the thought of, I don't know how to know where to begin, which is ultimately a false story. So how do you go about it?
Oh, I love it. So I'm kind of a risk taker in at heart. And let's talk about my book. When I started the book, I based it on what do I like to read? And then I found pulled out all the books that I like to read, how I like to read. And I said, okay, that's my first step. I know how I like to read very short stories. For me to read a full novel, I usually put those down. I like to pick a book up, like Jesus Calling, for an example, my book, very short stories. And so that's where I started. And I honestly just started writing. I wasn't sure what would come out and how I was going to take those steps, but I did ask questions. I say, get involved with people that are a few steps ahead of you in what you're trying to do, not super far ahead of you, only a few steps ahead, because those are the ones that actually have that knowledge sitting more fresh in their mind. Mm-hmm. If you try to go to an expert, they might not have time for you or whatever. I say somebody that's a few steps ahead of you. You can find people all over the place. I mean, you can reach out. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Honestly, I love when people ask me questions and then they're so surprised I answered them half the time. I'm like, no, I'm a person. Like, if I can help you, I'm going to help you. That's why I'm on social media. That's why I have a brand. I don't want to just be sitting up here with followers. That's not fun for anybody. I want to engage. I want to help. And so I think most people forget that we're all here to help each other. So reach out. Maybe if you need to hire someone, you can do that. But there's always someone to ask that might be a few steps ahead, and just start messy. It doesn't matter. You have to just start. So for me, I just started writing. I said, I'm going to put this together. I'll figure it out every step of the way. And I found someone to help me as I started writing. And then it just all came together.
Love that. That's so cool. And that's what I think is cool. Like when people listen to the podcast, is that's what everybody else says. You just get started. You don't have to know where it's going. You just start going somewhere, and then you're allowed to be steered the right way because you're moving. And so I think that's so cool that it just keeps being a consistent thing for people to hear. Okay, I just have to start doing it. I have no idea where I'm going. The direction will come. The people will come. The answers will come. Just do the next thing that comes to mind. Try it on. See what happens. a result will occur and that makes you go another place. So I think that's awesome.
And I say, so another chapter of my book is, this is so perfect. It's, I say, release the outcome, because many of us think about it. What you just said, if I focused on what is my book going to look like? Oh my God, on the cover. And then I got to, how many stories am I going to have? If I focus all my thoughts on the outcome, I probably would still be sitting writing right now, a couple of years later. Instead, don't think about the direct outcome. Just do the work and the outcome will happen the way it should happen. Mm-hmm. If you're putting in the work, I always say, release it to God. He knows what the outcome should be. Give it to him and pray about it. Obviously, that's what I would say. But don't stress about that outcome. Like if you're trying to lose 25 pounds right now, don't get so down on like, how am I going to get to 25 pounds? No, do the work to get the 5 pounds off. Then when you get that off, take the very next step, do the work, get the next 3 pounds off. You know what I'm saying? It's easier on your mind. It's easier to keep the process going without making you want to quit.
Mm-hmm. And I love how you tied it back into how, you know, for us both personally, to me, if you release whatever the outcome is going to be and how it's going to look, then you're actually now able to be blessed more than you could ever anticipate, because now God can actually elevate it to a level that we could never do or dream for ourselves, to even make the book turn out as awesome or impactful as it could be, or to tap into the people it could have if you're trying to control how that outcome turns out, because we're just human. And so when we finally surrender what it's going to look like, how it's going to turn out, who's going to get involved with it, all those details, and just let God do all of that, it's going to end out with 10 times the outcome than we could have hoped for. So I think that's really cool. So tell us about what you're currently working on. I'd love to hear more about whatever you can say about your current new book that's going to come out, and what should the audience stay tuned for?
So the audience could stay tuned for probably my 12-week. I have a group coaching program that it's called Fueled by Faith. It's really just helping women get fueled up in their faith so they can live the abundant life God has for them, with a strong identity as their core. I take them through a framework for that. The book I'm writing right now is more of a devotional. So I'm very excited. I'm going to be full force in January with that, because I do love devotionals. As I said, I love short stories. I love room to journal. And I know a lot of my followers love that as well. And just more speaking engagements are coming for 2023, and just getting my ministry out there, helping women stay on the climb with faith.
Love it. And where can everyone find you and follow you the best?
I'm on LinkedIn, Kelly Tyon, Instagram, and Facebook, all Kelly Tyon. My website is also Kelly Tyon. And then Addicted to the Climb is my podcast and book.
Perfect. And I'll have all of that in my show notes, so it's easy to click and to find as well. So to my final question, what does living an abundant life mean to you? And if someone were to ask you how they can start to build an abundant life for themselves, what would you tell them?
I think living an abundant life to me is just really waking up feeling fulfilled in what I'm doing and what my calling is. I think that makes me feel very abundant. It's not the part of being, you know, people always say, well, what does success look like? I think it's really about living a fulfilled life. Are you doing what you love to do? Are you giving what you can give? Are you making any kind of impact in the world? And it's all about, you know, how are you fulfilled in your life? So, and then what was the second part of the question?
So then if they were to ask you how they could start to now build an abundant life for themselves, what would you tell them?
I think it's just starting with, am I happy where I'm at right now? What, in really evaluating and being aware of what they like, what are they, if they're not happy in their life, if they're not feeling they're living an abundant life, then why? What are you lacking? Where do you need help? Where do you need to find more happiness? And really, I think it's the awareness is the key. I think a lot of us just go through life in like monotone state. Every day is monotonous. It's the same. Then all of a sudden 5 years goes by. And a lot of my women are like, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm 49. Where did these where did my life just go? I'm almost 50 years old, and they lost themselves along the way because they're not living a fulfilled life. They're just going through the day-to-day actions, but yet they're not happy. So stop where you are, find out what truly lights you up, and do that. Whether you need to change careers, or, you know, go to church, or have more faith in your life, find a new friend. And, you know, I always say we are the five we hang around. And that's one of the books that I've read that opened my eyes to that. But it's very true. Your environment, your surroundings, what you're consuming really makes an impact in who you are. So be aware of those things so you can live an abundant life and not feel you're just going through life in the mundane day-to-day things, and you're going to wake up and it's over. I never want to have regret.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope that you love this episode and that it was able to help you move in the right direction towards building the life that you want. If you take just a quick moment to leave us a positive 5-star review, I'd be so, so grateful, and share with any friends that you think would love it. This not only helps spread the mission of this podcast, but it helps to open the door to even more amazing guests and opportunities to better support you in amplifying your success and overflowing your cup with abundance. Thanks again, guys, and catch you on the next one.